very much. Well, it is an honor to be back in this pulpit again, and let me make sure I've got this thing turned on right, and they'll take care of the rest upstairs. I'm very happy to be back with you tonight, and I appreciate so very much the kind thoughts of Brother Jody, Pastor Jenkins, and Brother Lasley as they got together and talked over the 2 weeks that they would be apart, nearly 2 weeks that they would be gone from here, and they thought that it would be a good idea if Brother Lasley would call the house and see if I couldn't help out a little bit tonight and bring a message in the Wednesday night service. And I was very pleased to get that call from Brother Lasley and to be able to step in and try to be of help this evening. I appreciate that so much. And I appreciate just being with you, because this is our church, but you're our people and our hearts are here. And we thank God for being able to be with you at any time. And being a preacher, this is my 51st year of preaching this book. And I never get tired of it. Haven't gotten much better at it, but never get tired of it. And never get to the point to where I forget the honor that it is to be able to open God's Word and share it with anybody at any time in any place. I've preached to 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 people. I've preached to several hundred people, but whatever the crowd's not the thing. It's just be able to open God's Word and be able to share something good from His Word with whoever's listening. And I'm glad to be here with you this evening. It's true that we come with heavy hearts this evening. It was a week ago today, Wednesday of last week, that one of my wife's brothers went into Indian Path there in Kingsport to have a spleen taken out that was causing a lot of trouble. When they opened him up, they found that cancer had taken over. And so since then, my wife and I have been taking turns. I'd go up to the hospital in the mornings and she'd take care of Mom. And then she'd go in the afternoon and I'd stay at home and take care of Mom. And so for a week, we've been going back and forth this way. And this morning I was there and just, Frank couldn't hear anything. You couldn't talk with him, but I was talking to the family, of course, that was there, and just there, sometimes not even talking, just there, and watching him breathe, and watching the chest go up and go down, and the struggle that it was for him to breathe. And all of a sudden, we noticed about 5 or 10 minutes before noon this morning that he wasn't breathing anymore. And her brother went over in the glory land, like we just sang. He went over. He and his wife are members of the Good Shepherd Baptist Church there in Kingsport on New Beeson Well Road. He knew the Lord, loved the Lord. And by the way, Frank was a retired Air Force veteran, put in 20 years of his life in the U.S. Air Force. He was a security guard. He was in the charge of securing the perimeter around whatever base where they put him, in Korea and Germany and all across the states. For a while, he was one of the security guards on Air Force 1 and 2. He was a good man, did his job faithfully through the years. And we are missing more than a brother. He's a friend. And I told Margie, I'm going to need your help tonight, Margie. But she didn't have to say anything. She can just be there and work in her own heart. But I want you to know that God is good. And I'm glad to know that where Frank is tonight, he's over in Glory Land. He's not hurting anymore. And he's there seeing a whole lot of people that we've seen go on before us. And when I think about the message for tonight, I was tempted to change it. But then I said, no, that's not right. I think God gave me the message for tonight because it's for tonight. This time last week, Wednesday of last week, I was preaching at Bell Meadows Baptist Church up in Bristol. I told the people there, I want to tell you tonight the same thing, that I'm always honored to be able to preach to the Wednesday night crowd. I preach Sunday mornings, I preach Sunday nights, but I never feel slighted when I'm asked to preach to the Wednesday night crowd, because I believe that you're the cream of the crop. You're the best of the best. The ones that come on Sunday morning, praise God, I love to preach on Sunday mornings, love to preach on Sunday nights. But I always feel like I'm preaching to the cream of the crop when I get to preach to the Wednesday night crowd. The ones that are there because they want to be there. I know there's some that work, fire departments, police departments, hospitals, all kinds of places, obligate people to not be there. Sometimes it's age that causes some to not be able to get out at night. But I always believe that when I can share the Word of God with the Wednesday night crowd, I'm doing it with the very best that we have. And I'm honored to share God's Word with you tonight. The message I have is for people like you that can do, that will want to do what we'll see in God's Word this evening. I want you to turn in the book of Matthew to chapter 26 and see the story in chapter 26 of Mary of Bethany and something she did with the Lord Jesus Christ that I believe that we, each one of us, need to learn to do in our own lives every day that we live. Matthew 26, we'll begin reading in verse 6. Matthew 26 and verse 6. Matthew 26 and verse 6, I've left you time to find your place. I'm sure you have it. So let's just read that from verse 6 down through verse 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we pray that in exceptional situations you will do exceptional things. And tonight we're asking that you come in a very special way to meet with us as we open your word and share your word and go into these pages that will show us something we need to see, that will tell us something we need to hear. We're asking for a special visitation of the Holy Spirit upon this room tonight. Won't you meet with us, we pray, and may we, every one of us, leave and go home so very glad we came and go with something different and special and extra that we will find in our hearts that you gave us as we came into your house and into your word this evening. For we do pray in that special name of Christ. Amen. Amen. This woman that's just mentioned as a woman here was Mary of Bethany. She was, of course, the sister to Martha and to Lazarus. We know of her very well in other passages. And we see that Jesus commended her for what she did here in Luke 10 and John 11. This story is repeated in other parts of the New Testament. There are those other Gospels. But yet this is a lesson for us in the worship of Christ. And I want you to stop and think of what she did in this passage. She took this alabaster box of precious ointment and she poured it out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to ask you this evening, what do you have in your alabaster box? What do you have in your life that is the most precious thing that you have? And I think the answer is very simple. It's your time. It's your lives. It's somewhat like Brother Mann preached Sunday morning on this very subject of what are you doing with your life. To take your hours and your days and your minutes, your time and your energy, and to pour back into Christ the most precious thing he ever gave you, because the most precious thing he ever gave you was not your things. It wasn't your house and your car and your this and your that. The most precious thing that God ever gave you was the time that you have on this earth to serve him and live for him. Our brother Frank had 66 years to live for God, and for a big part of those years he did and walked with God, and he was a good friend and brother. My dad died of cancer just one month short of 46. My only sister died of cancer at the age of 43. Sometimes those days are short, and sometimes they're a little bit longer. But when God gives you time on this old earth, that's a box of alabaster ointment that's very precious. And you're going to do something with it. And you'll never do anything better with it than pouring it right back out on the one that gave it to you, on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take time and look at this story and to think about some of the things that happened here. In verses 6 and 7 of our passage here in Matthew, we see her worship of Christ. Let's go back and look at that once again. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, that's Mary of Bethany, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. She gave her most precious possession back to Jesus, to Christ. This was her way of trying to worship him. She just wanted to do something that she could do, anything she could do, to let him know how much she loved him, how much she worshiped him, how much she wanted to do something good for him, nice toward him. So she went into their house and she took the most precious thing she had. And by the way, the ointment was very precious, but they say that an alabaster box, especially back in those days, would have been an expensive, very expensive thing to have held that ointment in. That the box itself was very precious, let alone the ointment that was inside. She didn't go and take something cheap and tinsel off the shelf that she had several of or was not costly, but she took the most expensive thing that she would have had in her house. She took the most precious thing that she had in her house, and she gave it to Christ. She poured it out on him. Over in John, it was Judas that made the statement that, why did she do this when they could have sold that for 300 pence? Now, in our days, we are not quite sure of how to evaluate that money in our days currently. I haven't figured out exactly how to do it. I just know that 300 pence in those days was a great, great deal of money. And she counted that as no loss at all, no cost at all, to be able to give it back to the Savior. In verses 8 and 9, we see the misunderstanding of his disciples. As you go back and look at that, when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? They even called it waste. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. So you serve God, worship him, and you can count on it, you will be misunderstood. Serve God and do what's right and walk with him, and along the way you'll find many people that do understand, many people that do care, and that will walk with you. But along the way, you'll find those others that would prefer to take a swing at you for it, and that would prefer to throw stones, that would prefer to throw words. And so these disciples, instead of appreciating what this dear lady did for the Savior, for their Savior, as well as her Savior, they were in the same family, and yet they could only criticize and throw blame and criticisms upon Mary of Bethany. And so they didn't understand, and you'll not find that everybody understands either. And by the way, Jesus wasn't understood himself by everybody. We know that the Bible says that sometimes, Jesus said that over in Matthew 10, that sometimes a man's foes will be of his own household. Sometimes our foes, our enemies, our adversaries will be of our own household. And how many times we have seen that throughout the years. And then again, another time, we notice that the Bible says that, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Talking about the very children that Joseph and Mary had together after Christ was there, as they continued in their married life and had children, the Bible says that neither did his brethren believe in him. And they didn't believe in him until after the resurrection. And all those years, those times of walking along in the path of God that even his own family didn't understand, except Mary. Mary always understood, and the Bible says she kept those things in her heart. But misunderstandings, a lack of understanding, in life we don't really try to hard. So hard to understand, do we sometimes? When a brother or a sister's hurting, when somebody's going through a hard time, we don't always try that much to understand their pain, their heartache. Our brother Frank lived just down the road, a little bit past the McGee store, and he was a regular customer in there at the McGee store. I think a lot of times he came in there just to buy a little knickknack, just for the sake of stopping in and talking a while with the McGees and visiting them out there at Yuma, where they have their store. And I appreciated talking to Brother Jim a while ago, and, you know, he was just as I was, having a hard time talking about it, because Frank had become a friend to him through the years, and as we stood there and tried to talk a while ago, he was choked up, I was choked up, we had to just quit, because I lost a friend and a brother, and he lost a friend and brother as well, through Brother Frank. Misunderstandings, you see, there are some that do understand. There are hearts that are soft and tender, but sometimes it's not yours, and sometimes it's not mine. I need God's help to be understanding at all times, in all situations. They didn't understand, so Mary did what she did, not because people understood. She did what she did no matter whether they understood or not, whether they understood or not. But we see a little bit farther on in this story, in verse 10 of our passage here, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. So you see, when others don't understand, Jesus does. When you're trying to serve God, you're trying to witness. You're trying to get people saved. You're trying to get people in church. You'll find so many people that just don't seem to understand a thing in the world about why you're doing what you're doing. But the Bible says that when Jesus understood it, he understood it, that was good for him. The disciples need to know that he understood, but think of the comfort that brought Mary to know that what she did, the Savior understood. And what you do, the Savior understands. The Savior understands. And by the way, there's another verse in the scriptures, and I don't remember the reference. I just remember that it says that God's understanding is infinite. That means without limits. God's understanding is infinite. Oh, how many times we've rejoiced in the fact that if no one else understood, God understood. God understood. In verse 13 of our text, as we go back to that, we see that after thinking about all of that, there's a memorial here, because Jesus said in verse 13, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Praise the Lord for that verse, because we see this memorial to Mary. She did what she could. She took the most precious thing she had in her whole household, in her life, and she poured it out every drop upon the Savior. And God understood that. And Jesus said, it's more than me just understanding. I want you to know that as long as men are telling stories, they'll talk about Mary. We're still doing it today, 2,000 years later, talking about what Mary did here in this incident with the Savior. Well, why was that? Because she was rich? No. As a matter of fact, in doing this, she made herself even poorer. Why do we talk about Mary today? Because she had accumulated so many things in life? No, we talk about her because she gave away so much in life. Do we talk about her because she accomplished great things? No, we talk about her because she accomplished great worship. Great worship. And those are the ones that mark lives and mark history, that pour their lives back out on the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is your most precious possession tonight? It's the life that God has given you. And that's why I believe the Bible is telling us that we need to pour back out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we live, every beat of our hearts. I saw Frank as he beat his very last heartbeat today, but while it was beating, it beat for God. And you and I will have the day come when our hearts will no longer beat. But while it's beating, God expects you to let that heart beat for him. To take that alabaster box that God has given you of your life and to pour it back out onto the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to pour a portion of it, not a few drops, not a fourth of it, but to pour it to the very last drop upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To hold nothing back. Mary held nothing back. The Bible says she poured that box of ointment upon the Savior. Not a half of the box, not a part of the box, not a portion of the box, not a few drops from the box, but she poured the box in its entirety upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's expecting that of you and me, to take our lives and pour them out upon the Savior. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, if you will, please. The first four verses. We won't be looking at too many passages, just a couple. This one and one other before we finish for tonight. But this is the Apostle Paul talking, and he's asking us, what is your life? What is your alabaster box that you've got? He answers that question here in Colossians chapter 3, the first four verses. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Your life is hid with Christ in God. So take that life and pour it back out, because he says in verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Oh my, what Frank has already seen today in these few hours since he slipped out from our presence. What he's already seen and experienced there where he is now. Oh, my friends, take that life, pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out to the one that will receive it, and the only one that can receive it the way it should be received, the way it ought to be received, the only one that's worthy of receiving it. Pour it out on the one that gave it to you. Pour it out to the very last drop. Don't give him just a sample of it. Don't give him a part of it. Give him all of it. Take that alabaster box of life that God has given you and pour it out and say, "Dear God, here I am. Take me to do anything you want. I don't care what and where and how and when, but I am yours without restriction, without hold barred," like they say in wrestling terms, with no holds barred, to give yourself to God and pouring yourself out to where there's nothing left of yourself. The only thing that's left is Him, anointed with yourself. Through the years, the Christian church of the Word of God has seen so many people that's poured their lives out for the cause of Christ. Let me take time to just go through a brief list of people that came to my mind. People through the centuries past. I'll give their names, maybe a date or two here and there, but just think about some of these people that poured it out. Wouldn't you like to be in the same line of some of these people that we're going to be looking at in just a moment? Wouldn't you like to be in the same line, marching in the same way that some of these people, like Polycarp from the year 69 to 155? He was a disciple of the Apostle John. He was burned alive at the stake. And when he is told to recant, "If you'll recant, we'll spare your life." And he said this, "These many years have I served him, and he hath done me no wrong. How can I speak evil of my king who saved me?" And he went to the pillar to die by fire alive. John Huss, 1369, 1415, preached salvation by faith alone when it was not accepted by the Church of Rome, and so he was persecuted and chased as a heretic, caught and brought to be burned alive at the stake as well. And he said this just before dying. He says, "In the truth of the gospel which I have written, taught, and preached, I die willingly and joyfully today." He poured it out to the very last drop. Think of John Bunyan, 1628 to 1688. Spent 12 years in Bedford Prison for preaching the gospel when he was told that he couldn't do that unless he had a special license, and he just went out and preached anyway. Was arrested 12 years, and he took pieces of cloth. He would take those pieces of cloth that he could get from people that would somehow manage to get them to him, and he would pull it apart until he got down to the individual threads. And he'd take those individual threads, and he would weave shoelaces with those individual threads taken from scraps of cloth. He would get them out to his family, where his own family would have to sell those shoelaces on street corners to help make a few pennies to keep the family alive. And when he finally got out and kept going, his family was poor and destitute nearly their whole lives. In 1688, he was riding 40 miles on horseback to get to another village and preach the gospel under a driving rain, took sick and died. But he had poured every drop out of his life that he had for the cause of Christ. Adoniram Judson, 1788 to 1850, refused entrance to India, so he went to Burma, what we call Thailand. He went 6 years after getting there and never seeing a convert. 6 years and never one person saved. He was in prison for 2 years for bringing in that heresy into their country. And his wife, Anne, died. His baby, Maria, died. I believe he had a son that died there as well. And yet he said, "I will not leave Burma until the cross is planted here forever." And thousands have come to Christ through that area because he poured it out. He took what God gave him and he poured it out. David Livingstone, 1813 to 1873, was attacked by a lion, had his home destroyed. He was racked by fever, by dysentery constantly as he went from village to village there in Africa to take the gospel to those people. He buried his wife there alongside a jungle trail and threw himself upon her mound of soft, warm dirt and wept and cried and said, "Oh, Mary, Mary, I've loved you the first day I saw you. I've loved you every day since." He buried her there and got up and went on to the next village. But one day in May of 1873, they were going to another village, he and some of his converts there, to take the gospel to him. But he had been sick, could hardly go any farther, so they made a makeshift hut. There in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of nowhere, they made a makeshift hut for David Livingstone to put up a cot in there, and they got their preacher and their friend into that cot to spend the night and hopefully take up some energy and strength. The next morning, they didn't hear him rustling about, and they waited and waited and waited until finally the friends that were there with him, the native friends, peeked in the little door of that hut they'd put together. And over by that cot, that little cot that they'd made for him to put him on, they found David Livingston, not in the cot, but on his knees, beside the cot, stretched out across the cot, but on his knees beside it, dead, died somewhere in prayer, in the middle of the night, in the middle of Africa, in the middle of nowhere, because he poured it out. He poured it out to the last drop. Oh, so many others could be mentioned. In more recent times, there's John and Betty Stamm, two little lovers that met in Bible college, fell in love and loved missions, loved God, and they took off to China together, John and Betty Stamm, sweethearts from Bible college days, and just a fine, lovely young couple that we'd be tickled to death to have in a church like ours. And yet off they went to the heart of China and served there faithfully for years until the communist soldiers began to take over the countryside, and they came to their village one day, and they were against and trying to weed out the foreign missionaries that are preaching this heresy. They didn't want the communists to know, you know. And so they came to their village one day, and they brought all the village people out into the village square. All the townspeople were forced to come out, and they brought John and Betty out there in the middle of that crowd of people. And in the middle of that crowd, Betty was able to pass off their little daughter, baby daughter, to one of the Chinese ladies, and they squirreled that baby away back to the back of the crowd and out through the jungle and away, and that's the only way she had her life saved, was by the help of the people there that day. But they brought John out in front of everybody, and they said, you have to renounce these beliefs and this talk about God and all of these things. Renounce that or you'll die right here. And he said, I can't renounce that. He told them in his own words in Chinese and said, this is the God I serve, the God I love, the God I preach. I cannot renounce that. And so the commanding officer of that little group of communist soldiers called for the oldest soldier in the group. Looked for the oldest soldier. They found which one was the oldest of the group. And he says, you have the honor of taking off his head. And they made John Stamm step forward with his hands tied behind his back and bend over. And his head fell off of his body and rolled over close to the feet of his dear wife, Betty. They said, now you have to tell the people. You see what happens when you won't do what we tell you, so you have to do so these people can hear you say that all this is lies and it's not true what you've been saying about this God of heaven. She said she could not do it. She'd already written to a friend years before, death, I fear not death, to do what, afraid of death, to do what death, what life cannot. She was not afraid of death. She said, if I have to do it, I'll do by death what my life cannot. And so it was just a matter of a few moments. And they looked around and the commanding officer found the youngest soldier in that group, the youngest soldier in that communist group, and said, you have the honor of taking her head off. And so those two lifeless bodies were soon laying there on the ground, pumping out their blood in Chinese soil, because you see, they had poured their lives out. They'd poured it out to the last drop because it was for Christ, not for glory, not for recognition, because few people ever had even heard of it back in those days. It was for none of that. It was all for the Savior. They'd poured it out to the last drop. You probably have never heard the name of John and Mary Gaston. John and Mary Gaston served also in China, serving faithfully deep in the heart of China back in the mountains. And the day came when they were serving there that Mary took sick. Very sick. They tried to doctor, tried to do what they could, and nothing was working. And they were about 2 or 3 days by boat, by native boat, to get back down to the nearest civilization in some place where somebody could help Mary. And so John said, we can't wait any longer. We have to get in this boat and get her down river to a civilization where Mary can get help. And so they climbed in the boat with 2 or 3 of the Chinese converts from there in that village. And they set out on the river to take Mary to a place where she could be doctored and helped. And they had only gone a day or so downriver, and Mary was taking a turn for the worse, and John could see that she wasn't going to make it. So they put into shore to spend the night. And there under a huge tree in the middle of nowhere in China, John backed himself up against this huge tree, and their Chinese friends cradled Mary in his arms. And there under that tree, he held his dying wife in his arms, caressed her feverish, sweaty brow, talked to her, caressed her, loved her, until she breathed her last. Her last breath was gone. And he just laid up against that tree and just stayed there and stayed there and stayed there for a while until the time came when he had to get up and with his friends, his Chinese convert friends, take Mary and just wrap her in the blanket that they had with them, dig a shallow grave, and bury Mary as best as they could, and have a ceremony and a service, and wait for the sun to come up the next morning when they would have to make a decision about what to do. Now, the natives knew that after all of this, we've lost our preacher. We've lost our friend. She's dead, and he'll not come back to us now. And they knew that the next day that John would want to get back in that little bark and head back downriver to civilization and gone. And the next day, early in the morning, they saw John standing there looking at the river as it went downstream toward civilization and toward home and out. And he looked at the water going by and talking to God and looking within his own heart. He turned to his Chinese friends and he says, "My friends, it's time to go back home," as he pointed upriver. "Back to our home, back to our village, back to our work. Let's get back in and go home." They climbed back in and worked their way back upriver, where he can continue what they've been doing together, he and Mary, for those many years. You see, through the centuries, there's been some tremendous men and women of God that have poured themselves out for the cause of Christ. Not for a cause, even, really, but for the person of Christ, because it was for him. Not even the cause, really, but it was for him. And he has a cause, yes, but it's for him. It's for Jesus. Mary did this not for a cause, not for the spread of the gospel, but just for the Savior. A last passage we'll look at as we close tonight is over in 2 Samuel chapter 23. A last passage before we close. And as we look at this passage, 2 Samuel chapter 23, I want you to be thinking this evening. I want you to be stopping to think. Have I really poured myself out on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I held anything back? Have I reserved maybe more for me than I have for him? Have I poured myself out, or just a few drops from my alabaster box that God has given me? Here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, this is a story with King David beginning in verse 14 to 17. We'll just read a brief part of the story in chapter 23, verse 14. "And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." You see, it was too precious to drink. It was too precious to keep for himself. If he poured it out, it was because his water was precious because of the price that was paid for it. These men risked their lives that he might have that drink from the well of the waters of Bethlehem. And when he finally had it in his hands, he realized that it was too precious for him to keep for himself. He was so moved by the honor that he received in receiving this from the hands of those that loved him that much, that he poured it out as a drink offering. And by the way, the Jewish people have a drink offering. David did that in symbolism of the drink offerings that the Jewish people had. And so instead of keeping it for himself, he poured it back out in honor of those that had paid the price for him to have it. Remember the one that paid the price for you to have the life that you have. How could we possibly keep it for ourselves? Your life is more precious than any alabaster box of any ointment upon the face of the earth. But a tremendous price has been paid for it. It's been paid by one person. His name is Jesus. And tonight, how could we ever want to do anything else with that life other than just give it back to him and say, "Father, you gave it to me. You entrusted it into my hands for the life that I live, for as long as this old heart of mine beats. And as long as it beats, I want you to know I just can't keep it for myself. I want you to have it, every bit of it, every drop of it, and you can have the box with it. Have every drop of the ointment, and you can have the alabaster box it comes in. You can have it all. Give it back to God. My friends, pour it out. Pour it out. Don't keep it. Don't try to think of what you can do with it. What you can do with it is obvious. Give it back to Jesus. Give it back to Jesus. Young people, I don't believe that God is asking you, and I say young people, I'm thinking of anybody under 40. Young people, I don't believe that God is asking you to come tonight and say, I promise tonight I'm going to be a preacher. I promise tonight I'll go to the mission field. I promise tonight I'm going to be in a full-time ministry of something. No, God is not asking for that kind of a promise. What he's saying is, pour yourself out on me and let me decide what I do with you. Give yourself to me, every drop, to the very last corner of that box, that you might be able to come to him tonight, young people, and say, Heavenly Father, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know what you want me to do with my life. Up till now, I know what I've been doing up till now and up till here. But from here on, I don't know what you want me to do with my life as a whole. But I want you to know that whatever you say is all right with me. I'm not giving you a part of my life. I'm giving you all of it. And whatever you want me to do, if you want me to just work in a gas station or sell cars or who knows what, that's fine. But I'm going to be the best Christian I can be in that position. But if you want me in a full-time ministry, that's all right too. To be able to come to God and say, I don't know yet. I don't know. But I do know one thing. I'm giving myself to you, to the very last drop of my alabaster box, of this precious ointment of my life that you've given me. To just come and say, Father, no holds barred, I'm yours. No conditions, no clauses, I'm yours to do whatever you want with me. That's pouring it out. That's not just giving a sample, but to pour it out. Like some of these people I just mentioned tonight, like David did with that water because he saw the price that was paid for it. My dear friends, tonight, if God has spoken to your heart in any way, and you've seen in your own life where you haven't poured it out, maybe you need to come tonight and pour it out at the altar. If God has spoken to you tonight and shown you any place in your life where you've just not poured it out, you've given God a part, you've given God a sample, you've given him a few drops here and a few drops there, but tonight, if anybody could understand this message, it's the Wednesday night crowd could understand this message about pouring it out, because you're the kind of people that want to. And if you see anywhere in your life that you haven't done it, here's a great place to pour it out this evening. I was looking for Brother Mann. Where did Brother Bob slip off to? I don't see where. There he is. He heard me say that, and here he comes, because I told him I wanted him to take the invitation time. When I'm in my own pulpit, I take the invitation nearly every time. When I'm in somebody else's pulpit, I want them to do the invitation. Come on, Brother Bob. Do the invitation as God has laid upon your heart. God's been working in your heart as we've been going through this message, and you know the way you would like to do the invitation, the way God's laid on your heart. My friends, why don't we go ahead and stand, we'll be doing that. If you will, please, go right ahead and stand. We'll be singing and having an invitation. But as I said, if you see any place in your heart, in your life, where you've kept something back, you've not poured it out, follow the example of Mary tonight. Pour it out to the very last drop for the cause of Christ. Brother Bob.
I'd like if you take your hymnals, turn to hymn 293. Hymn 293. This is not the hymn that we had planned for tonight, but I want you to think about this. Is your all on the altar? Several things that he said tonight that really spoke out to me. Think of Mary and how she took that precious alabaster box, how it was full of this precious ointment. That was the most precious thing that she had. And one thing that he said, what is the most precious thing that you have? Our time is extremely precious. Many other things that we have that are extremely precious that often we keep back. But think about the words of the song. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase. If you'd like to go ahead and play it this time, that'd be great. Thank you. And have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as He yield Him your body and soul. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, what has God spoken to you about tonight? I'll be honest, God has spoken to me about giving my all completely to Him. Every single thing I have, giving it to Him. We never want to go through a service without asking the question, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a point in your life where you've received Him by faith? You've asked Him to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, to take you to heaven someday? Have you truly been saved? Are you a child of God? If not, get that settled tonight. We'll have some folks here in just a minute. If you'd like to ask somebody to show you from the Bible how to be saved, please come forward tonight. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you have trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you want to go ahead and come at this time while the instruments are playing. We won't have any singing. But thinking about these words, is your all on the altar? Have you taken that alabaster box and given it to God completely? Teenagers, what is that box that you're holding? Have you truly said, God, I want to do whatever you want with my life. God, if you want me to be a carpenter, I'll do it for you. God, if you want me to be a missionary, I'll do it for you. God, if you want me to be a preacher, God, if you want whatever you want me to do, God, I want to do it for you. I want to give my life completely to you. Folks, maybe you've been coming to this church for a long time. Maybe you're still holding on to that box. Maybe you've poured a little bit out. Like you said, pour the whole thing out. Give God the whole box, everything that's in it, and say, God, take this and use it. Again, whatever your need is tonight, we'll have her play through one more verse or so. And if you need, like, for somebody to pray with you, please just ask us. We'd love to do that at this time. But what is in your alabaster box? Have you given it completely to God? Listen, God's not asking, God's not looking for ability. God's not looking for somebody who has all these wonderful talents. God's looking for availability. God's looking for people to give themselves completely to Him. Give you a few more minutes if you'd still like to come. These altars are still open. Tomorrow morning, Mrs. Cash is having surgery. If a couple of you ladies would like to come up here and pray with her at this time, this will be our closing prayer. If some of you ladies would like to make your way up here and pray with her, that everything goes well with that, that would be great. And let's close in prayer. And thank you so much for being here tonight. Brother Abbott, thank you for the message. The Lord used it to speak to my heart, and we appreciate that. And think about it. Give your all completely to Him, and let's all do that the rest of this week. And may God be pleased with our lives. Brother Micah Johnson, if you wouldn't mind to close us in prayer, please, praying specifically for Mrs. Cash as she has this surgery tomorrow. Pray for Pastor, and pray that the Lord gives them a safe return, and we'll see you back here on Sunday. Thank you. Have a good evening.